Scripture readings this morning will come to us from three places, actually. The first passage from James 1, 19 through 21, Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. And then I'd like to add a few passages from Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, as page 162 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Listen first to these words from James. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Ephesians 4. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves, give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Finally, from Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Seem God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So have you ever been so angry with your boss that you wanted to walk out the door? And maybe just not walk out the door, but perhaps exact a little revenge in the process. Jeffrey Zaslow, advice columnist and journalist for the Wall Street Journal, author of numerous books and articles, who died just this last February in a car crash, asked that very question years ago and asked his readers to respond. And then he published many of the responses in his book. Maybe some of you have read it. Tell me about it. A young research chemist, a PhD candidate, had this to say. I spent 3 years separating certain substance into its components. It was excruciating, tedious work done for starvation wages. My egomaniacal advisor demanded top billing when the important research was to be published. Having done all the work, as you can imagine, I balked at giving my advisor top spot and, in essence, all the credit for my work. But he wouldn't yield and made all kinds of threats to me. Finally, I got so fed up, I took the two flasks of separated compounds and poured them together, yielding them useless. The phrase, "all that work down the drain," was never more appropriate. You ever felt like doing something like that? Have you ever gotten so angry at someone for treating you unfairly or disappointing you so greatly or misunderstanding you so profoundly or expecting so much of you that you wanted to do them bodily harm or worse? We talked about during our confession, maybe a better question is, when was the last time you got angry with someone, right? I love that story about the little girl who asked her mommy, "Mommy, how come all the jerks just come out when Daddy drives?" I was reading this week about that old-time Chicago Cubs outfielder, Andre Dawson. Some of you might remember that name. He was also called the Hawk. And way back in that day, he had to pay the big fine of $1,000, which back in the day was not a big deal, but he had to pay $1,000 for disputing a strike called by umpire Joe West. And on the memo line of the check, Dawson wrote, "Donation for the blind." Well, sometimes anger can be expressed humorously. And sometimes that may be a very good way to handle it. But at other times, it's not really very funny at all. I think of how many lives have been taken or wounded by angry people who think they have the right to kill or bully someone who is a different color or a different gender or has a different sexual orientation or wears some different kind of clothing or looks just a little differently than they do. We don't need to look very far at all to find extreme examples of what anger left unchecked or handled poorly can do. And I can tell you all kinds of stories about minister colleagues of mine who have been destroyed. And I mean destroyed. By well-intentioned and very devout Christians who have been very righteous in their angry tirades, chalking them up to God's will. Or the old line, "I'm just a hothead and I tell it the way it is." As if that's right. And of course, the fact of the matter is, we all get angry at some point in time. Jesus even got angry. We have several well-documented examples in Scripture where Jesus clearly loses his cool. One of perhaps the most famous of those times occurs when Jesus was in the temple, and what does he do? He overturns the tables of the money changers and he says what? "My temple should," anybody? "Be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." There are also those times, though, when Jesus got a little miffed at the scribes and Pharisees to the point where he called them names. And then there's the time he cursed a fig tree and rebuked Peter. And then there's the time when Jesus got indignant. That's the word that is used in one translation. And you and I have all seen people who have been indignant, and it ain't pretty. Jesus became indignant about the fact that some people were having a hard time with other people bringing children to him that he might touch them. So I need to tell you this morning, I get very suspicious and concerned for couples who tell me in premarital counseling that they have never been angry with one another. And I get very suspicious and concerned with anyone, really, who suggests that they never get angry. We may redirect our anger in good and positive ways. We may contain our anger and deal with it in such a way so that there is no so-called collateral damage. But anyone who says they never get angry, well, I have some other issues I would like to discuss with them. And please, please don't ever let anyone tell you that it is unchristian to be angry. Or that there's no way you can be a Christian and still hold on to your anger. That's just wrong. And it makes me angry. Like any emotion, anger is part of being human. The Apostle Paul, I think, gets as close to this reality as anyone when he says in the Ephesians passage before us today, "Be angry, but do not sin." James picks up on this too when he says, be slow, slow to anger. And even Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says that we need to be careful with our anger, because if we are angry with a brother or sister, we will be liable to the same judgment as a murderer. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it, anger is an attack on our brothers and sisters in life. So the issue, you see, has never really been for us as people of faith that we can't get angry. The issue is, what are the appropriate ways to deal with our anger? Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. So clearly then, there are appropriate and inappropriate ways to deal with anger. In the New International Version of the Romans 12 passage, we read, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, we have talked before from this sacred desk about how this is a very demanding passage of Scripture. It goes against our basic nature to be kind to those who have done us wrong. And it totally goes against the grain to show up at our enemy's house with a loaf of warm bread and some homemade jam. But have you ever tried it? Have you ever done that? I have. And it works. If anything, it's worth it just to see their jaw drop when you show up at their door. But what else can we do besides take baked goods and beverages to our enemies? How do we deal with a potentially destructive emotion of anger? Well, this last week I sent out via email a great little resource that a colleague sent to me this last week as we were having some email dialogue about this sermon. And he sent me some great resources from Psychology Today's website. And if you have not gotten those via email, there's several copies of that. It's like this. I know you can't see it from there. But on the table in the narthex, you can pick those up. And I particularly resonated with the author's struggle with the term anger management and his advocacy for the expression of anger regulation. There are great resources and tools there that I am not going to take the time here to reiterate. But perhaps I think the essence of taming our tongues and handling our anger constructively and well can in part be summarized by Gilda Carl's old advice, to frame it, claim it, and tame it. Carl suggested the first step in anger regulation is to frame it, and this often requires taking a step back and away from the person or situation and collecting yourself so that you can really think about what's going on in you and in the other person and in the situation. And yes, some folks count to 10, and they find that very helpful. Me, I'm not one for counting. Some people take a walk around the block. Others need to take a day or two to think and reflect and remain quiet. But we've got to do whatever we need to do so that we are not blasting away. And people who have a tendency to pop off and shoot from the hip every time they feel a little angry need to work, I think, particularly hard at this. And may even need some professional help with this. So frame it. Do what it takes to get to the point where you can put the situation in context and be aware of all the sides and facets of the situation. This allows you to stay in control. And if you're reading through the Bible with us, you read just this last week in Proverbs 29:11 that this is very wise. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but the wise quietly holds it back to frame it." I might add. Next, we have to claim our anger. And I'd also argue that we could call this step naming our anger. We need to admit to ourselves and to others that we're upset, for sure. And instead of focusing on the fact that we are mad, we need to get to the point where we can name exactly what it is that we are mad about. And we need to name it in a non-judgmental way, focusing on what we feel and think about what was said and done and not getting into that blame game. And we really need to take that first step of framing it to allow the time it takes to identify what is really the issue at hand. Quick personal story. Karen and I were at the cabin one weekend. It was after a long stretch of major output in my life, and I needed some quiet time away. In the driveway pulls up a little red car, and two ladies get out. They had Jehovah's Witnesses signs on their foreheads. I wish you could see Karen's face. You know, babe, I had to confess this at some point. I met them at the door. Actually, I opened the door, met them before they got to the door. And I said, "We're good here. I'm Christian. Go away. Don't come back." In essence, that's what I said. Right, babe? In essence, I'm holding back a few expletives. The issue was not with them. The issue was my desire to not be disturbed. And I was ugly. And Karen let me know as such. But when I closed the door, she said, "Way to go, Christian." The next time I told her, after about 3 months passed, the next time I'm going to invite them in and have a conversation with them. Once the real problem is claimed, or better named, the next part is taming your anger, and often the hardest part. This is where I think we really try to focus on improving and repairing rather than blaming. And sometimes, depending on the problem and its depth, you may need to agree to get some help with this part too. And that help may be required over a period of time. You're not going to get this fixed in two visits to a good counselor. And you're certainly not going to get it fixed all the time from a good conversation with a good friend. It takes some professional help sometimes to help with this piece. And this help can certainly come from God as well. I love the way Colleen Jennings Fraoli, in a magazine article, describes her way of dealing with anger. She says that once she admits that she is angry, she pictures herself handing her feelings over to Christ. As 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Then she asks God to give her the ability to see her situation from God's perspective. This may, she says, not change my circumstances, but she says it greatly affects my response. I like that. Especially because there is another proverb that encourages us when we are angry to respond rather than react. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Case in point, Pastor Bob at his cabin. There was no soft word there. And for those of you who are reading through the Bible with us, you might find it helpful to know that Fraioli learned how to hand her anger over to God, in part because her reading of the Psalms. She says, I learned from David's example in the Psalms. David poured his heart out to God more than anyone I know when he was angry. And if David could do it, then I can too. And she says she has gotten to a point where she can almost hear God say, it's okay. I'm here with you. And you can give it to me. I think that's pretty cool. And I think it's pretty good advice. Frame it, claim it and name it, and tame it. And maybe one more piece of very helpful advice from the writer of Proverbs, which we have been immersed in the last couple of weeks, which basically counsels us to avoid angry people altogether. Check out Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friends with those given to anger, and do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Another way of saying what you focus on grows. So to help you deal with your anger, frame it, claim it and name it, and then tame it, knowing that sometimes that taming will require avoiding hotheads and getting some good help. Get it? Let's pray. God bless this simple witness given in your name. And as we seek to tame our anger and our tongues, may we build up one another and the world. We pray in Jesus' name.